From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak as we continue our series of studies in the life of Christ, looking once more at the temptations of the Lord Jesus. That will be in a few minutes, and first we will have our daily commentary, our hot topic for today, which will be on the subject of the Church of England, is it disintegrating? A very interesting report coming out of London that surely is of interest to all who love the cause of Christ, and especially those who call themselves Episcopalians. So stay with us for that. But first we're going to start with the grand old hymn, The Banner of the Cross. Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, could hardly have had a very merry Christmas or a peaceful introduction to the new year. In December, he met with a group of disgruntled Anglican evangelicals, who numbered the Bishop of Rochester and the Bishop of Lewis among their supporters. The evangelicals had a dire message for the Archbishop. Speaking for about 2,000 churches, they warned that Williams would have to do something to allow them to be free from the authority of liberal bishops, and to act to meet their concerns over homosexual clergy, or face anarchy and disintegration within the Church of England. London's Daily Telegraph reported, "The group, an unprecedented coalition of evangelical organisations and networks, is powerful because it represents about a fifth of all the Church of England's churches. As many of these are large and thriving, according to some estimates, they account for almost a third of its active membership and up to 40% of its money, a significant weapon given the parlous state of church finances." The end of the report. The evangelicals presented the Archbishop with a covenant that made it clear that they would not accept the authority of liberal bishops who abandoned biblical teaching by accepting homosexual priests or blocking evangelical growth. The covenant warned the Archbishop that the whole group will support individual members who break their ties with their bishops, refuse to allow them into their churches, or cut their financial support to the Church of England's central funds. As part of a growing resistance movement retired or foreign bishops could be parachuted into evangelical parishes in defiance of the diocesan bishops. All this is taking place at a time when the worldwide Anglican Communion is facing a split of major proportions. American and African conservatives have been putting pressure on Rowan Williams to act. To complicate matters further, the Anglo-Catholic wing of his church, incensed at the prospect of being subjected to female bishops, is threatening to replicate the evangelicals' action. Meanwhile, the liberals are bleating that the evangelicals are attempting to split the church over homosexuality and undermining its traditional tolerance, damaging not only the church but also the nation. How it could damage the nation to obey the Bible and exclude sodomite priests from the Church of England, the liberals have not made clear. And how he is going to hold together an unholy amalgam that is the Church of England, the Archbishop of Canterbury has not made clear. He's taking advice from his fellow bishops. Never seems to occur to him and those who are threatening him that there is a cause greater than holding the Church of England together, given that their church is, by their own admission, going right off the rails, with bishops who have abandoned the teaching of Scripture and who put the imagined rights of sodomites before the undoubted rights of Christ, the King of the Church. Why do not the evangelicals determine that they will no longer settle for patched-up answers that do not address the fundamental problem? Why do they not obey the injunction of Scripture and simply have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness? That's what they should do. But I seriously doubt that there are many of them who will.
Lamb of God, come now, I'm seated high upon thy Father's throne. All thy gracious work completed, all thy mighty victory won. Every knee in heaven is bending to
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and it's coming to you out of Greenville, South Carolina. I'm Alan Cairns, and it's my privilege to bring the broadcast to you day by day. Before I give you our mailing address and other ways to get in touch with us, I trust that you'll remember that if you haven't yet signed up to receive your free copy each quarter of the Let the Bible Speak full-color magazine, that you'll write or contact us and ask for it. I'd also draw to your attention our monthly devotional tape. It's a sort of an electronic magazine. Very many interesting articles and teaching devices in it, and we'd be happy to let you have it. So please be in touch with us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you'd like to contact us by email, the email address is ltbs at freepres, freepress@freepress.org. Or if you'd like to call us toll-free, our telephone number is 1-866-877-5827. That is 866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you.
With harps and with vials, there stands a great throng in the presence of Jesus and sings his new song. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. All these once were sinners, defiled in his sight.
Now arrayed in pure garments, in praise they unite.
Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen. How helpless and hopeless we sinners had been, if he never had loved us, dear friends, from our sin. Unto him who hath loved us and washed us from sin, unto him be the glory forever. Amen.
Yesterday we looked at the fact that immediately after his baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we noted the modus operandi of the tempter. We now return to Matthew chapter 4, summarizing yesterday's study, as we again explore the divine providence in the temptation of Christ.
I think here you'll see a very clear evidence of how the devil goes to work. The Lord Jesus is marked here at his baptism, or should I say his baptism is marked by these three things. I'll alliterate them so that you can't ever forget them. There was the virtue of his commitment to righteousness. It becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then there was the vision of the Holy Spirit coming upon him. And then there was the voice identifying him as the Son of God. Then he was led up by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. You see, as soon as the Lord Jesus committed himself publicly, now, don't misunderstand what I say. The Lord Jesus was sinless from his birth. He was always absolutely, totally, perfectly virtuous. But here he is making the public announcement. Here he is undertaking the public duties of the fulfiller of all righteousness on behalf of his people. Here he is stepping forth as the great Savior and the promised Messiah to work out a righteousness under the law that would satisfy God and that would clothe his people and give them a perfectly legal justification. And as he commits himself to that virtue, immediately the devil sets about this horrendous temptation. The servant is never better than his master. And you and I will find that every time there is a working in our heart to stir us to holiness, that will be challenged. Every time we are led to yearn for virtue and commit ourselves to righteousness, there will be the temptation of the devil, and it will come swiftly. We need to learn from this. We are told that the Lord Jesus is set before us as our example, and never more so than in this. How often we're taken by surprise that when we have holy exercises, when we have holy desires, when we are yearning to be more like Christ, when we are most insistent on committing ourselves to do the will of God, that at that point we are tempted and apparently with greater strength and fury than at other times, we ought not to be surprised, because the more we are given to virtue, the more we are insistent on righteousness, then the more we will lay ourselves open to the hatred and the fury of satanic temptation. The Lord Jesus saw the Spirit coming upon him. When he got that vision of the holy dove coming upon him, immediately the tempter came. Why? To rob him, if he could, of the newly given power of the Holy Ghost. You see, a Christ without the power of the Holy Ghost would be impotent. It was by the Spirit he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It was by the Spirit he was filled and furnished for his life of service. Paul tells us in writing to the Hebrews, it was by the Spirit that he died victoriously on the cross. He tells us in writing to the Romans, it was by the Spirit that God raised him from the dead. So, without the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit, can I say it very reverently, even the Christ of God would have been impotent to serve God in this work of redemption. The reason for that is very simple, that our salvation is a Trinitarian work. We are told in the words of the Lord Jesus himself that he did nothing of himself, and that the Holy Spirit did nothing of himself. You never find one divine person isolated, working apart from the others. That is the Trinity that works our salvation. So the Lord Jesus had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Satan sought to rob him of that. As soon as you have an experience of God's power, whether it be in prayer, and can I say, that's the only place you will get God's power. It was as he was praying that the Lord Jesus went into the waters of baptism. We're told that specifically. He was already in prayer. He was already lifting up his heart to his Father for this very experience. And God answered prayer. And as we pray and obtain power from God, obtain the anointing of the Spirit of God, the endowment of the Holy Ghost, without which we cannot serve. Let's understand that. As soon as we get about that work, and as soon as we obtain anything of the power of the Spirit of God, Satan will come immediately to tempt you, to rob you of that power. Because the devil knows, a lot wiser in this than we are, the devil knows that no matter what your talent, no matter what your natural ability, without the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing in the service of God. Jesus said to his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. Before the disciples went out to evangelize and win the world, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. There could be nothing undertaken without the power of the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus taught them specifically, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, it may be educated flesh, it may be cultured flesh, it may be very talented flesh, it may be high-sounding flesh, it may be musical flesh, it may be theologically trained flesh, but it doesn't matter, the flesh profiteth nothing. Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, was writing to a people who had been led astray by a false doctrine of the gift of tongues, just like a whole lot of people today. And without getting into the details of how it worked out in Corinth, Paul said, look, You're chattering on and showing how many languages you can speak in, how wonderful you are. You think that these are marks of great spirituality. He says you can take 10,000 of those words. I'd rather just speak one. One. That is genuinely in the power of the Spirit of God. My, how we need to learn that. Be on our guard against anything that would rob us of it. And let's understand, that's what Satan's about. Satan is in the work of producing impotent Christians. Satan is about the work of robbing people who name the name of Christ of the ministry of the Holy Spirit with power in their lives. Now you can therefore turn that right around and very easily identify the voice and the activity of the serpent. Anything that comes between you and the power of the Spirit of God, anything that robs you of the power of the Holy Ghost, anything that distances you from the experience of the Spirit working in your life and through your life, is the temptation of the devil himself. That's what he was doing with the Lord Jesus. Then, of course, when the voice came, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." And as soon as the Father had publicly identified Christ as his Son, Satan cries, "If thou be the Son of God, if you are God's Son." To us that automatically denotes he's casting great doubt on it. Actually, the word "if," as it's set up in the Greek New Testament, has different ways of being set forth, and some don't necessarily denote doubt. In fact, in many cases it may be translated "since." It's taking for granted, if in the sense of since. That's the form that's used here, actually. I think what you can see in you get exactly the same words when Jesus was on the cross in Matthew 27:40. Exactly the same words hurled at him when he was on the cross. "If you're the Son of God." They're not admitting that he's the Son of God. Satan was not admitting the sonship of Christ here. He was sneering at the testimony. You can hear the sneer and the hiss of the serpent. God has just said, "This is my beloved Son." And Satan comes sneering at Christ, "Since you're the Son of God," or "if you're the Son of God, do this or do this." Again, you will notice what Satan's modus operandi always is. As soon as God has spoken, Satan comes to undermine it, to doubt it, to cast some shadow upon it, to sneer at it, and to overthrow it, as he had done in the Garden of Eden. It's always the work of the devil to put an "if" over the person of Jesus Christ. We have some right agents of the devil in the church today, in the so-called church. We have bred our race, and I'm going to use the language of Scripture, and if you don't like it, then fight with the Holy Ghost and not me. But we have bred a race of twice damned apostates. That's what Jude calls them. They're damned twice over because they're apostates. And I could name some of them for you. And they put a question over the absolute deity of Jesus Christ. They sneer at the idea of the literal truth of God manifested in the flesh. They mock the whole notion that the Lord Jesus Christ is the second person of the eternal Trinity. And like their father the devil, they come and they say, "If Some of them even go further and they openly deny and say he is not the Son of God. That's why the Bible says they're damned. It's not that they're going to be damned. They are already under the irrevocable condemnation of God. He will never withdraw his sentence on an apostate who has so blasphemed as to be the very voice of Satan against the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.